It is important for you to know what you believe. At Daleville Christian Church, we believe it's not only important that you know what you believe, but that you be able to state it. And so we use God's Word, selections of God's Word, that says what it is that we believe. And this affirmation of our faith from Philippians chapter 2, the 5th through the 11th verse. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is what we believe at Daleville Christian Church. The lesson from God's Word is from the Apostle Paul's letter to the churches in the city of Rome. And so the letter is entitled Romans. It's in chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. May the Lord indeed add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Alex Korb, in his book, The Upward Spiral, tells this story. Thousands of years ago, some early human looked at a cave and said out loud, "I want to go check out that cave." His buddy, standing next to him, kind of grunted back, "I'm not sure that's such a great idea. I'm worried that it might not be safe, maybe even dangerous." The first guy went into the cave and was eaten by a bear. The second guy standing there is your ancestor. The guy who worried about the safety of the cave is your ancestor and mine. You and I were born to be afraid, worried, frightened, and anxious. You can now stop feeling guilty for being a worrywart. Worry comes naturally, but that doesn't mean that we should indulge worry, just as we who are followers of Jesus need not indulge any natural activity or any natural inclination. I don't want to take too much time on this, but although you and I are not born worriers, although my grandmother was the closest person I ever saw who fit the picture of a born worrier, you and I were not born worriers, and yet you and I are descended from survivors who probably are survivors because they worried. You see, the brain circuits that help us to plan and solve problems and make decisions are the very same parts of the brain that lead us to worrying. What kept our ancestor out of danger also is the same part of the brain that gives us anxiety. Having said all that about how natural it is, and may even have saved some lives thousands of years ago, I just remind you that it is no longer thousands of years ago. Referring to my opening example, I imagine that most of you have never been in a cave, let alone contemplated going into a cave, and therefore have never worried or had cause to worry about what's in the cave. A natural brain function that served our species well a long time ago is today simply overused. Overused by modern human beings. And let me add, you claim to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ who promised to make our lives new, Jesus Christ who said, "Believe in God, believe also in me." If you have faith in Jesus, what are you worried about? As I mentioned at the beginning of the year, the 1990 hit song, "Don't Worry, Be Happy," is a great song, but it's terrible mental health advice. It's difficult to quickly and completely turn off thousands of years of survivor thinking just like that. If our brains are programmed to worry, it's tough to just turn it off. The Bible tells us that God is the only answer to our worries. We cannot of ourselves be happy. It will take faith in God, probably prayer, meditation, and depending on what life has thrown at you, it might also take medication and therapy. Which is why I often say to my own brain what Homer Simpson says, "Stupid brain." I told my brain last week, "Look, brain, I'm working awfully hard for you. You better straighten up and fly right." And thankfully, my brain cooperated, and for a couple of days, I had really good days. I may have mentioned last Sunday that 18% of adults in the U.S. experienced an anxiety disorder. If there are 50 of us here today, 10 of us are suffering right here, right now. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Alex Korb says in his book, The Upward Spiral, as a neuroscientist, you're supposed to be impressed at the title neuroscientist. Are you impressed with the title neuroscientist? I am. As a neuroscientist specializing in mood disorders, Dr. Korb states, "I've come to recognize that everyone has depressive tendencies, and anxiety is a large part of depression. Everyone has these tendencies to a varying degree. That's just how the brain is wired. That's just how the brain is wired." But Dr. Korb goes on to say, "The good news is that in complex systems like the brain, small changes sometimes have big effects." Dr. Korb makes the comment that if you have a lot of fears, a lot of anxiety, or what we call a big worrier, there's nothing wrong with your brain. Your brain works fine. He offers the weather as an example. Oklahoma has the same weather systems as we have here in Indiana. However, they come together in Oklahoma in a more dramatic and destructive pattern. Lots of tornadoes. Your worrywart brain works fine, but when you're worrying and anxious, your brain systems have come together in a dramatic way. Too dramatic a way. God's Word, faith in Jesus Christ, and our Lord's presence of the Holy Spirit are here to help your brain. God's Word, faith in Jesus Christ, and our Lord's presence of the Holy Spirit are here to help your brain. to prevent your brain from having all that drama of the worry wart. God's Word and the Holy Spirit are present to make those small changes, those adjustments, so that we can go about the life the Lord intended us to have. The Bible says, don't be afraid. Author and pastor John Ortberg reminds us that don't be afraid is a phrase in the Bible that shows up more than any other command in the Bible. Consider that. Don't be afraid is a phrase in the Bible that shows up more than any other command in the Bible. Don't be afraid. I checked and found 23 instances of the phrase, don't be afraid. I checked them all. I can't find the phrase, be afraid, in the Bible without the word don't in front of it. Do you get that? I can't find the phrase, be afraid, in the Bible without the word don't in front of it. Don't be afraid. The Bible phrase is always, don't be afraid. Our God does not want us living in fear. Our God does not want us to live with anxiety. Our God does not want us to worry. Our Lord does not want us to worry. Not because our Lord doesn't care about us. Our Lord does not want us to worry because our Lord cares so much about us. He does care about us and loves us. And that's why he doesn't want us to worry. Hear the word of the Lord from the Psalms. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. Psalm 46, and I use Psalm 46 in all the funerals that I do, I use this psalm. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Because that's what it feels like when we've lost a loved one. That dramatic change of the earth giving way and mountains falling. But the psalm says, we will not fear. And then I remind people at the funeral that the earth giving way and the mountains falling into the heart of the sea, that's a description of a tsunami, isn't it? That's what happens. The mountains fall in the sea and then the waves start rolling. But the psalmist says, we will not fear. Now, you may fear God. We are supposed to fear the Lord. Although I think most of us understand that the word fear in the phrase fear God means to be in awe of, to revere God, to respect the power of God. Just as you respect the power of electricity or the power of fire or the power of tornadic winds, you fear those things in that sense. You respect them. And when you hear on a weather report about tornadoes, storms, you act accordingly. And when we respect the Lord and His power, we too are to act accordingly. But the Bible does tell us if you do not respect your Creator, there are consequences. Psalm 55 says, the Lord rescues me unharmed from the battle waged against me, even though many oppose me. God will humble those enemies because they have no fear of God. Being in awe of God is the first step to real peace. That's what Proverbs 1 says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 3, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Proverbs 23 reminds us, do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. To know or to acknowledge this power of Almighty God is to begin to understand the power of the one who came to help you. To acknowledge this power of the Almighty God is to begin to understand the power of the one who came to help you and me. Psalm 23 reminds us, even though I walk through the darkest valley, or as you remember it, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your shepherd's rod and staff comfort me. Psalm 23 compares God to a shepherd of we, his sheep. You see, my friends, in order for the sheep to find grazing land, they might have to move through several valleys. But valleys get dark early in the day. The sun sets at the mountain lip. And darkness brings out the stalking, devouring beasts to kill the sheep. Valleys are where floods can happen. Sheep don't like valleys. But despite these reasons to be afraid, the sheep of Psalm 23 is not afraid. I fear no evil. The sheep, because of the presence of the shepherd, refuse to be moved to fear or terror. Despite these dangers, the shepherd chooses the route to take the flock to grazing and watering lands. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is our shepherd, we are the sheep. The Lord will lead us, even if the valley is dark, even if we cannot see well, even if we cannot see the shepherd, we hear his voice. Jesus says, the sheep know the shepherd's voice, and they follow. Even if we cannot see our Lord clearly in the dark, we hear his voice. He will lead us. He will protect us from what we fear. So there's no need to overuse this brain function that we have, the function of our brain to worry, to be afraid, to be cautious. Why be cautious if Jesus is leading us? There are reasons for the sheep to be afraid, but the Lord will lead us. So the advice would be to listen to the Lord's voice. Keep following. You must trust the shepherd. Trust that the shepherd is a good shepherd. Clearly, the things that you face and see, the things that you fear, can destroy you. But the psalm states that the shepherd won't allow you to be destroyed. Let's close with a story from Pastor John Ortberg. Pastor Ortberg is a wonderful storyteller, and I think they are all true when he tells about his own life. This story is from Pastor Ortberg's book, If You Want to Walk on Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat. Let's think about that title for a moment. Some of you studied the Bible with this book. Pastor Ortberg and his wife decided to accept the invitation of a friend to visit him and go skiing at the friend's winter sport camp in the Swiss Alps. Pastor Ortberg was not a skier, but he was a young graduate student, which means that he was young and stupid, right? Because why would anyone volunteer to go to graduate school? I know what I'm talking about. The Ortbergs were on the ski lift and almost to the top of the run when they both fell off into the deep snow. Pastor Ortberg states that they lay in the snow for a while, waiting for the St. Bernard rescue dog that never came. In the meantime, a number of skiers went by yelling advice in German, which Pastor Ortberg does not speak, but he could make out the word Dummkopf. Another couple jumped off the lift to assist them, and they spoke a little English. The couple guided them to the nearest slope, and no kidding, this particular slope was marked with a skull and crossbones. The man, Hans, who had stopped to help, told John Ortberg as he skied down the slope to not look down. Don't look down the slope, because you'll be frightened of the slope and you'll be overwhelmed by the distance you must cover. When new skiers look down the slope, they panic and crash. Miraculously enough, Pastor Ortberg states he was able to not look down despite the fact that six-year-olds were passing him up going down the slope. And Pastor Ortberg made it to the bottom of the slope with all his bones intact and in the right places. Pastor Ortberg then relates the story of Peter and Jesus on the Sea of Galilee. You'll find it in Matthew's Gospel book, chapter 14. There we read, "When the disciples saw Jesus walking on the lake," because they were there in the boat, "they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid.'" Peter replied, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, came toward Jesus, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," Jesus said, "why did you doubt?" The answer to that question, "why did you doubt?" is there in the quotation. When Peter saw the wind, Peter was afraid. Peter forgot. Peter drifted from the advice that Pastor Ortberg had received. Don't look down. Don't look up. Keep your eye on Jesus. In the letter of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writes, "When we came into Macedonia, we had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn. Conflicts on the outside, fears within." But then he immediately writes, "But God comforted us." Psalm 34 says, "I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." We so often consult our fears, don't we? Our brains are wired that way, and our own thoughts are right there, readily accessible, so we look to them. But the Bible says don't do that. Don't be afraid, and do seek the Lord. My experience is that as the Lord calls me to somewhere, the Lord doesn't always show me where it is I am going or the way I am going. What's one of my favorite verses in the Bible that concerns running? "Run the race set before you." Jesus puts it in front of you. Jesus puts the way in front of me, the race in front of me, but I may not see the finish line from where I am at the start line. But the course of the race Jesus himself has set. We need to keep our eyes on the one who is calling us to come to me, walk with me, follow me. Hebrews, we looked at this Hebrews passage from chapter 12 last week. We're called to run the race with perseverance, looking to Jesus. That's exactly what the verse says. I don't set the race course. I may not see the finish line from the start line. I've got to run the race with perseverance, looking to Jesus. The Apostle Paul wrote our verse today. If God is for us, who can be against us? For I'm convinced that neither life nor death, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.